This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Merry Christmas. Tonight we're going to focus on this text from Isaiah chapter 9, the famous passage at Christmas. And we're going to look at basically just one small part of that passage. The beginning of verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." You know, of all the traditions that surround Christmas, I think the most defining is the custom of giving and receiving gifts. And of course, there are a lot of other occasions in which we give gifts, but I don't know of any other occasion where basically everyone is both giving and receiving. And despite, you know, the fact that we are aggravated sometimes by the commercialization of it all, and we probably should be, you know, it's still a good tradition. The essence of giving gifts is good. It's right for us to do it at Christmas because it really highlights a central truth. Jesus Christ came at Christmas, but he didn't just come to us at Christmas. He was given. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." He didn't just show up. He was a gift. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing and he's thinking about all of this. And he just breaks into praise. He says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This is a gift that is beyond comprehension. So on this special night, that's what I want to do. I want us to think a little bit about the gift of Jesus, what it means about this gift we've been given. And I really just want to focus on two things. The first of which is, like many great gifts, the gift of Jesus comes to us as a surprise. It's a surprise. Jesus is a surprise because he comes in a way that we do not expect. He comes in weakness. You know, the best gifts, I think, are a surprise. And for some of us, like me especially, this gets lost on us as we get older. You know, my wife, Stephanie, has an Amazon wish list, so she doesn't get surprised very often by my gifts. Now, on our first Christmas, I guessed. There were no such thing as Amazon back then, so I guessed. I went to, you know, it was back in the dark ages when you actually had to go somewhere to shop, and I went to the Gap at Oak Park Mall, and I look at this mannequin, and it's like, hey, there's an outfit. Cool. Done. Got it. Box it up. It was all matchy-matchy, and if you know my wife, you know that's not the way she rolls. And it was a surprise, all right. It was a disaster, and I knew the minute that she opened it that it was immediately going back. Now it works a lot better. She just puts the green shoes on her Amazon wish list. I buy the green shoes. She's happy, I'm happy, it's all good. But, you know, with kids, it's a little more complicated. You want it to be a surprise. You don't go up to them and say, hey, look at this, I got you this American Girl doll. Why don't we now wrap it up and put it under the tree and you can open it in a couple weeks? You know, the power and the excitement of the gift is enhanced by your child thinking, hey, I wonder what's in that box. You know, and they're shaking it, they pick it up. You want it to be a surprise. And Jesus is that kind of gift. He is a surprise. In fact, Jesus, if we think of it this way, Jesus was not on the world's Christmas list. The world did not expect him. The world expected a Messiah who would come in power. Someone who would come in power. And here's why. Here's why they expected a Messiah who would come in power. Because they believed, just as we do really, that they believed that the evil forces of the world that were outside of them were the cause of all their problems. And so they wanted God to send someone who would fix those problems for them. And as long as Jesus was acting like that kind of Messiah, healing people and doing miraculous things, he had a very big following. Everybody was ready to sign up. And the crowds shouted Hosanna when he came into Jerusalem. But when he didn't rise up against the Roman oppressors, many of them turned on him. As long as he acted like the powerful Messiah that they expected, they accepted him. But when his ministry ended in weakness, they left disappointed. His ministry also began, his life began in weakness. He comes as a child. And not just a child, but a child to a poor family. He lived a life not as some kind of powerful political leader, but he was a wandering teacher. And in the end, he dies, giving himself over to his opposition without resistance. He dies, in his own words, to give his life as a ransom for many. And on the cross, almost everyone abandoned Jesus. This couldn't be the gift of God. This couldn't be our salvation. And this is why, after thousands and thousands of people followed him, in the end, there were only about 120 who remained. Jesus was not what they expected. Now let's get a little bit more personal. Many people, I think, reject Jesus for the same reason today. We are just like the people of ancient Palestine. We expect a powerful Messiah to come who will take care of all of our problems. Because we believe, like them, that primarily our problems are caused by people, things, and conditions out there. So if God is going to save us, he needs to send someone or do something to take care of those external problems. And regardless of who we are, liberal or conservative, rich or poor, I don't care what the label is, we all share something in common. We all think the problem is them, or that thing, or that condition. My problem is out there. And so I need God to send someone who will come in power and deal with it. But you know, God's analysis of our problem is very different from our own. And therefore, the gift that God has given us is a very different kind of gift. He's a gift who comes in weakness. You know, God's analysis of our situation is very different from ours. He recognizes that, yes, certainly we do have problems out there, but our ultimate problem is in here. The source of our problems start in here. What we need is a surprise gift who will come and deal with our problem in here. And that's the kind of gift God has given us in Jesus. The gift of Jesus is a surprise. We expect him to come in power, to defeat our enemies out there, but instead he came in weakness to conquer our demons in here. And things can't be made right out there until things are made right in here. So that's the first thing. Jesus comes as a surprise. And the second thing about the gift of Jesus is that by definition, he is a gift who is given to us by grace. By grace. It means that the Christian faith is all about grace. Jesus didn't just show up. He's a gift, and therefore Christianity is not based upon earning some sort of religious wages. No, it's based upon receiving a gift. Let me put it this way. If someone really wronged you, can you imagine wanting to give that person a gift? Maybe we should go a little step further. Maybe we should imagine someone really has wronged you, and not only you want to give them a gift, but you want to give them your most precious possession. That is what God has done. Although we have, in essence, turned our backs on him or ignored him. I mean, think of it. If God is real and he created this world and he has given us life and everything that we have any of us appropriately thanked him? Do we live our lives in that awareness of who he is and what he has done? And the answer is no, we don't. But he has still given us a gift. And not just any gift, but his most precious possession. We have not earned the gift of Jesus. Far from it. To us, a son is given freely, generously. You know, the Bible says that Jesus gives us his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 says that we are in Christ and he has become our righteousness. That's a religious word. Think of it this way. Righteousness is what makes us feel okay about ourselves. It's what makes us feel worthwhile. You know, every one of us struggles for some sense of righteousness. We're all trying to grasp for something that makes us feel okay, makes us feel worthy, something that will be self-justifying. If I can either do this or be that, then I'll be okay. But Christianity says no. Instead of justifying ourselves, Jesus is our righteousness. His perfect life is credited to us. God looks on us as righteous because of Jesus. Unto us a son is given. He's free. He's ours if we want him. And he gives us his righteousness in place of our brokenness. Christmas is about the free gift of God. And many of you have heard this a million times. Jesus is the gift of Christmas. He's the reason for the season. But at the same time, you struggle with this idea. Deep down, you can't really believe that there is a way to stop trying to justify yourself. And so you just keep trying. And some of you feel like you're not getting there and you're being crushed by the burden of it all. And some of you are like these characters in the New Testament we call Pharisees, who were convinced that they had already arrived. You know, John and Charles Wesley, they were famous Anglican clergymen, and they were the founders of the Methodist movement. And some years after their death, the Methodist movement left the Anglican Church and became its own denomination. But the precursor to it all was their famous conversions. At a Bible study in London, the leader of this Bible study asked Charles, "Do you hope to be saved?" He replied, "I do." "For what reason do you hope it?" "Because I have used my best endeavors to serve God." Charles reports, he shook his head and said no more. I thought him very uncharitable, saying in my heart, "What? Are not my endeavors sufficient ground of hope? Would he rob me of my endeavors? I have nothing else to trust." Later, a few days later, Charles was reading Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Galatians. And he came to this line, "Have we nothing then to do?" "No, nothing, but be found in him who of God is made unto us our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, our salvation." Charles wrote, "I now find myself at peace with God and rejoice in hope of loving Christ." He wrote that he felt like he had been taken to a new world. "I was in a new heaven and a new earth." 3 days later, after Charles, John Wesley had his own breakthrough at a similar Bible study in London, and he wrote in his journal, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, him alone for salvation. An assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Now keep in mind, both of these men were ordained priests before any of this. Both had been missionaries to this crazy land they called Georgia, the state of Georgia. Both of them had served faithfully in the church. But it wasn't until they received the free gift of Jesus that their ministries became prolific and changed the world. Free. Nothing they could do to justify themselves. All their hard work was not enough. And maybe you hear this every year at Christmas, and you think, it can't be that easy. Jesus is a gift? Come on. I wasn't born yesterday. I know that is not the way the world works. I have to keep working, proving myself. That's all I can do. God will have to accept me on that basis. I'm doing my best. Can I gently and very sympathetically say, no, you're not. And I'm not either. We all know that we don't always do our best. Very frequently, we don't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's. We all know that we don't always do our best. And for some of us, if we even allowed ourselves to think about it, we would begin to feel crushed by the burden of failure, because we know this world demands merit. This world demands achievement. This world demands payment. And might I humbly suggest a different approach? Try living in a new world, a new heaven and a new earth that's ruled by love and grace. And we do that by refusing to trust our own efforts and receive the free gift of Jesus. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Accept by faith the free gift of grace given to you at Christmas. And when you do, as it is beautifully written or captured in the hymn, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. God bless you and Merry Christmas.